This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, October 2nd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's legal issues in the news. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. A judge has ordered Illinois election officials to temporarily stop mailing absentee ballots and create a flyer to hand to voters on Election Day because of misleading and inaccurate language on the ballot. Circuit Court Judge Nathaniel R. House Jr. ruled yesterday the flyer should explain how the language, which deals with a referendum on a constitutional convention in Illinois, is biased. He ordered lawyers to return tomorrow to discuss specific ballot changes. Chicago's Bar Association and Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn filed the lawsuit, which sought to force Illinois to reprint ballots. Some election officials argued that reprinting and distributing millions of ballots across the state would be impossible in the time for the election. The state constitution requires voters to consider the convention question every 20 years. That deadline comes up again November 4th. Family and friends gathered at the football stadium at Champaign Centennial High School last night to say farewell to about 85 National Guard troops. The members of the Champaign-based unit will be going to Afghanistan, and separation from loved ones will be one of their biggest challenges. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Ball from the left, Cole.
Members of Bravo Company of the 634th Brigade Support Battalion leave Tommy Stewart Field as fireworks go off in their honor. Last night's deployment ceremony was a proud moment for members of the Champaign-based company and their families. It's the first deployment for Specialist Carl Clodfelder of Villa Grove. He says military service is a tradition in his family, and they're prepared for his long absence.
Pretty good. My brother's already been deployed once. He might be going with us, but they're taking it pretty well.
Still, Sergeant Michael Ladd of Seymour says being away from family is the worst part of the military experience. Ladd, who returned from Iraq last year and therefore isn't part of this deployment, says email and cell phones have made contact with family back home easier, but also problematic.
It's better and it's worse. Sometimes you can over-communicate with home, which of course adds to the stress level of the soldier and the family member. Then there's other times where you can under-communicate.
The members of Bravo Company are among some 2,700 Illinois Army National Guard soldiers from the 33rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team, who are headed to Fort Bragg in North Carolina for training and then on to Afghanistan. They're scheduled to return next year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Last night's deployment ceremony was the second one held in Champaign-Urbana this week. Last Sunday, another deployment ceremony for an Urbana-based unit of the 33rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team was held at the U of I Assembly Hall. Urbana's Carl Foundation says it's laid off 72 employees to address an anticipated $20 million gap in its budget. Carl blames delayed government payments and lower reimbursement rates for the job losses, which amount to more than 2% of the hospital's workforce. A Carl press release said the layoffs were mainly in management and professional non-clinical areas. Illinois' two U.S. senators voted for the financial bailout bill that passed the Senate last night on a vote of 74 to 25. Senator Barack Obama says the bailout plan is not perfect, but is necessary. Before the vote, the Democratic presidential candidate urged the Senate to pass the legislation.
I know that many Americans are feeling anxiety right now about their jobs, about their homes, about their life savings. But I also know this, that we can steer ourselves out of this crisis.
Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin says he wanted the legislation to include more protection for struggling homeowners, but Durbin still voted for the plan.
I wish I didn't have to vote for this bill, but if we fail to act, and this economy clearly does go into a meltdown, we cannot say that in Congress we've met our responsibility by going home empty-handed.
That's a provided courtesy of C-SPAN. Durbin's Republican challenger said the bailout bill would amount to nationalizing our nation's financial industry. Steve Sauerberg says Congress should put together a plan that relies on a free market approach. The financial bailout bill that passed the Senate last night contained changes that were designed to win over Republicans concerned about using taxpayer money to buy bad mortgage-related securities and other assets held by troubled financial firms. But the changes were not what was sought by Central Illinois Jobs with Justice. About a dozen members of the group picketed in downtown Champaign yesterday, just hours before the Senate voted on the bailout bill. Spokesman Gene Vanderport of the Illinois Education Association says they want the bill to include changes that help taxpayers and homeowners.
Well, for one thing, there needs to be some immediate redressing of the grievances that homeowners are facing, some kind of moratorium on foreclosures until we can get to a point of fixing that whole crisis. We're looking at having more transparency and accountability. If there is going to be any kind of bailout for the banks, if there's going to be a profit made, that profit should come back to the people.
Vanderport says the latest changes to the financial bailout bill are irrelevant or even harmful. He says Jobs with Justice favors a plan that invests in the health care, infrastructure rebuilding, and other programs he says would benefit the middle class. The group also opposes letting the Treasury Secretary oversee a financial bailout. They favor a board approved by Congress with members that include consumers and workers. Vanderport says these ideas mirror those endorsed by the mostly Democratic, Black, Latino, and progressive caucuses in the House. That chamber is expected to take up the bailout bill on Friday. A Washington, D.C.-based economist says the tax policies of both presidential candidates promise things that are too good to be paid for. Diane Lim Rogers was part of a University of Illinois panel yesterday on the country's economy. She says what both Barack Obama and John McCain are promising in terms of tax cuts and spending is inconsistent with their plans for the deficit. Rogers notes that both want to extend most of the Bush tax cuts on top of their own plans, which she says won't hold up under congressional pay-as-you-go rules. They require tax increases or other cuts to help offset the cost of new programs.
So even though Senator Obama says he supports pay-as-you-go rules in Congress, and even though Senator McCain claims to want to achieve a balanced budget by the end of his first term, neither of them in those claims are very consistent with what they're actually proposing in terms of their tax policy.
In the wake of a pending bailout of Wall Street before Congress, Rogers notes that both candidates have recognized their need to scale back on spending initiatives once a new administration is in place. Meanwhile, she says most members of Congress are starting to realize that it's time to start putting political posturing aside and agree on a bailout. Rogers is with the Concord Coalition, a nonprofit advocacy group promoting fiscal responsibility. A new statewide poll has found tight races for both president and governor in Indiana. The South Bend Tribune WSBT poll released last night found 46% of likely voters favored Republican John McCain for president, while 45% said they backed Democrat Barack Obama. The same poll found 47% supported Republican Governor Mitch Daniels, while 46% said they were supporting Democrat Joe Long Thompson. The poll's margin of error was plus or minus 4 percentage points. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The Secret Service protects major party presidential candidates, but the protection we've given to Senators Obama and McCain is more than people-based. Commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
When one becomes a major party candidate for president of the United States, personal protection increases, thanks to the guarding arms of the United States Secret Service. But it's not only the guys and gals with earpieces that provide a barrier between Barack and the body politic or McCain and the masses. It's also the written word. Here's what I mean. Those of us who are simple commoners rely on regular old criminal law to protect us. There are statutes on the books, of course, making it a crime to kill us or to batter us or even to put the fear of battery into us. Each state has its own criminal law, and we walk around daily with this barrier of protection, as penetrable as it may be sometimes. But candidates for president have an extra layer of statutory shielding. The federal law makes it a crime to harm or to threaten to harm certain special people, those who've achieved or are struggling to achieve some political prominence. One statute provides that whoever kills, kidnaps, or attempts to kill or kidnap any person who is a member of Congress or a member of Congress-elect, a member of the executive branch of the government who is the head of a department, a major presidential or vice presidential candidate, or a Supreme Court justice or nominee can be sent to prison for life. Another statute sends people to prison for up to 5 years when they threaten to kill, kidnap, or inflict bodily harm against a major candidate for the office of president or vice president, or those candidates' family members, among other key politicians. Those statutes have been used to punish those who spit on a United States senator, those who threw eggs at presidential candidate John Anderson, and those who threatened Ronald Reagan well past his presidency. Now, you might wonder why this is, why Congress felt it important to provide this extra layer of security, however false it may be at times. It's not like the criminal law that protects each of us would evaporate once we threw our names into the hat as candidates for high political office. Congress explained in legislative history that sometimes state laws weren't enough, that state laws sometimes didn't adequately support Secret Service investigations and prosecutions. Nonetheless, there are those who've argued that such a distinction between the presidential hopeful haves and commoner have-nots, for example, violates the constitutional right to, no pun intended, equal protection. The Constitution mandates that each of us be treated equally, unless there's some really good reason not to treat us equally. And here, courts have sided with Congress. The extension of special protection to members of Congress is highly rational, the court explained in one of the cases involving an egg assault on John Anderson when he was a presidential candidate. The protection should be such as to serve to impede potential violators from carrying out such attacks. In other words, it's rational to bump up protection for politicians who, as another court put it, occupy a unique position resulting from both their access to confidential information and their exposure to the public that makes them likely targets for potential kidnappers or assassins. So the Secret Service put up physical barriers of sorts at the Obama and the McCain homes, and Congress put up its own word-based barriers. Let's hope they both hold up. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In our forecast for the region today, mostly sunny skies with a high of 65. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low around 42. Partly sunny Friday with a high around 65. Mostly clear Friday evening, the low around 42. Mostly sunny Saturday with a high around 65. Mostly cloudy Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 50. Partly sunny Sunday with a high around 72 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, October 2nd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.